Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Bactiguard Q1 results call for 2016. Today I'm pleased to present CEO Christian Kinch, CFO Fredrik Järrsten, and Cecilia Edström, Head of Sales and New Business. Throughout this call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Could you please begin now?
Good morning, everyone. Christian Kinch here, CEO of Bactiguard. Welcome to the Q1 presentation. I would like to start off on the first page, looking at the global arena, how to fight multi-resistant bacteria. We wanted to start off by getting your attention to the U.S. and especially the Centers for Disease Control. Multi-resistant bacteria and the spread around the world is quite a challenge, as we are all aware. We find it very interesting when we look at Centers for Disease Control in the U.S., at their four main topics on how to address this. They start off by prevention of infections is one of the most important part in order to fight the spread of the resistance. Number two is, of course, measure. We need to track, we need to measure, and we need to face reality of the challenge that we are heading to. The third part is, of course, we need as government societies around the world, and especially the pharma industry, to improve the antibiotics and how we actually see prescribing around the world. As for developing of new drugs, yes, of course, it's an obvious route, but bear in mind, taking a new drug into the market, you're looking at easy 10-15 years. We need to start really at the cause of the problem by addressing the infections to occur. This was also something that we saw at the Davos meeting in February, where also the world, from a cost perspective, was looking at the increasing expense in the healthcare sector around the globe, and also now acknowledging the importance of preventing infections, addressing hygiene routines on how to actually drive down cost within the healthcare sector. Turn to the next page. What does it look like then in our dear home country, Sweden? It looks promising, I would say. The Swedish government just took a new strategy on how to address antibiotic resistance in Sweden. It's a seven-bullet-point program. I'm not going to go through all of them, but by no surprise, our dear Minister of Health, Mr. Gabriel Wikström, has now also addressed prevention of infections as one of the key drivers in order to combat this problem. I like his quote that you see on the right bottom side. "When bacteria spread across the world, we must also create solutions together." I actually had the privilege of meeting him yesterday evening, together with the President of Chile, and we had a chance also to discuss not only the Swedish environment, but also the South American side from the Chilean parties, also acknowledging the problem of the increasing infections around the world. Thereby also, we will see this coming up at the UN Assembly in September, where there will be a high-level meeting discussing the challenge. Turn to the next page. What about us then? As for our key priorities during the year, they are quite simple, and they are three when you look at them. We will increase our efforts in driving the sales of our own Bactiguard infection production portfolio. So far, so good coming out of the first quarter, where we have seen a major increase in our own volumes delivered into the market. We saw some 80,000 units going out in the market, as where we had also from last year, 150,000. We are well on our way to the promise that I gave already after Q4, with the ambition of at least doubling our own sales within the next coming years. The second priority is, and this is also given what I just started off this call with, the increase in interest from larger companies around the world addressing the issue of finding solutions to the increasing infections within medical devices is something that we can see quite strongly. We have the ambition to close at least one new license deal where we will provide our technology into an external party's production facility, similar to the Bard collaboration that we have. And over the period, and that is the period of 5 years after our IPO, our ambition is to have two to three new license deals providing the same revenue streams as what we're seeing from the Bard collaboration. The third major priority for the year is to secure on the long term our refinancing of the outstanding bond. And this is something that we are quite far gone in and we feel very secure about. So let's turn to the next page and let me just look at the highlights from the Q1. As I said, we are very happy in seeing that real sales is coming along very nicely. Last year, we had only some 4,000 units delivered. This year, we saw some 88,000 units. As we have said in our press release, yes, we're happy to see that deliveries are now ongoing into China and to India. That is very, very promising and something that we are very happy and proud of. But not to forget, we are also seeing repeat sales from existing markets. So this is also a very strong indication that the momentum in our portfolio is starting to show the results. We did receive the first order after the approval from the Chinese government, SFDA, on New Year's Day Eve, sorry, and that is some 100,000 units. This has been delivered partly in Q1, but it also will be finalized during second quarter. As I said, we're very happy to see that we're getting repeat business from expanding markets. Looking then to our home country, Sweden. Yes, we took a new tender in Halland. This is important for us because here we can also see that our mission of actually getting new standards of care in place is starting to pay off, and we are already ongoing with new tenders in our home market. The revenue top line, yes, it was somewhat lower. It has a very simple explanation. The major stock order that we received from C.R. Bard mid last year, we have seen that instead of making new orders for the Q1, Bard has been taking some of the deliveries from the stock order that we already sent them. But the positive sign here is that we are now back on track, and when we see the underlying sales development, it's very much in line with our expectations. We are continuing to drive the clinical evidence, and we have released already earlier that we are seeing a tendency of potential efficacy on thrombosis. This is not jumping into any kind of conclusion, but this has been early in vitro clinical data. As we are all aware of, when using blood products, yes, infections are crucial, but as important is also the risk of thrombosis leading to blood clots, etc. We have entered into a new field, which is the suprapubic delivery of urinary tract Foley catheter. We started a clinical trial at the Spinalis Center, which is spinal cord patients. And this is something that would be very, very closely monitored, and it's very interesting for us going forward. Last but not least, we're also happy that the big clinical trial post our clinical, our regulatory approval in India is coming along nicely. We now have the six sites ongoing, and the study is moving along as planned. I said that we will be focusing even more to the license opportunities that we are seeing. We have also done so by increasing the resources internally that we spend on the area, and we are looking forward to present something within the near future as to how we proceed within the area. Last but not least, we have an important milestone of the inauguration of our new site here in Stockholm, where we were happy to receive the Minister of Trade and Innovation, Minister Mikael Damberg. So by that, I will hand over to Cecilia to look at the short market update from around the world. Turn to the next page, please.
Thank you, Christian. Good morning, everyone. Well, it's no secret that the two regions, I call them regions and not countries, that are at the top of our priority list is China and India this year, and I will turn my attention to them in more detail on the next slide. But just in summary and briefly, as Christian mentioned, we made our first delivery to China. Products are on the way or already reached China destination. Marketing and training activities have been initiated, and that gets top management attention. In India, we shipped the majority of the first order for 50,000 that we received in the first quarter, and sales activities have started in all regions. In addition to that, I think it's important to highlight the work we are doing in Sweden. We had the breakthrough in the tender for Åland, and we're working on more tenders. And as you know, these come back with a regular frequency. So a lot of work is ongoing and preparing for tenders to come. But what is also interesting to see, when we visit the major hospitals throughout Sweden, there's an increasing interest in our CVC. And this is interesting from many different perspectives. The patients that get a CVC are critically ill and receive a lot of treatment. So this can make a lot of difference to them by avoiding an infection, which also means that they are less price sensitive, or the medical devices that are applied on these patients are less price sensitive, and they are of higher value to us. We can add more value by having the features that we have, both from a basic product perspective, but from the infection prevention property. So that is very encouraging. So what we are doing is working on establishing reference sites that we can use for marketing in other markets across the world where our products are used. In addition to that, throughout Europe, we are seeing expanding repeat orders from the markets we're already in. But a lot of intense work is ongoing to find distributors for the major markets. And it's fair to say that we, in the congresses and in our regular work, we find a lot of interest to work with our products. But for us, it's important to find the right partner, not just a partner, but the right partner who's willing to invest together with us and develop this business. Because this is not a me-too product. It's solution-based sales where we are selling infection prevention and not a me-too product. Turning to the Middle East, you all know that we had big deliveries in Q4, which means that deliveries have been a bit lower this quarter. What we are focusing on are the volume markets, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Iran, and a few others. And we're also focusing on expanding the product portfolio and getting qualified in big tenders. We've put in work into being qualified for GCC tenders, which is covering all the Gulf countries. There you first qualify, and then you can submit your offers in upcoming tenders. In Latin America, our main focus is on the big markets, Mexico, Brazil, but also some of the smaller markets. And it's fair to say that the political and economic situation in Brazil is rather tough, which means that our distributor has to do a lot of work. It's somewhat slow there. Mexico only just started because of registration issues, which are now cleared. And there, a lot of marketing is ongoing and building the market. The smaller market asks some additional volume, and our regional manager is working hard on getting that done. Let's now turn to the next slide, China and India. As you know, we received the first order earlier in the first quarter, and delivery started. So a smaller portion was delivered this quarter, and the bulk will be shipped in this quarter. And this is by far the biggest launch in Bactiguard's history. So we are really taking care to do it right. It requires a lot of training. We will be conducting trainer activities next month, and then we will spread to regional training activities throughout the country. And that we are taking that very seriously. All the marketing material has been translated to Chinese, training material, et cetera, et cetera. So that's going to be a big event, and that is critically important. With the shipments we make in the first and second quarter, there will be we will stock up quite substantially, but I think it's fair to say that we can expect a repeat order somewhere towards the end of the year. In India, we made delivered the majority of the first order in Q1, and as you know, we participated in congresses, and we've appointed sub-distributors and dealers in most of the metropolitan areas, in some cases like Delhi even two, so that something like 13 dealers, sub-dealers and distributors across the country, and they started delivering to the hospitals. We stocked up the dealers and they are delivering to the hospitals, and we're also seeing some repeat orders already from the hospitals that have ordered. And there I think we can expect a repeat order in the second half of this year. Turning now to our licensed business, you're all aware of the successful partnership we have with BR Bard. We had lower deliveries in Q4 and Q1, but it's now positive to see that we are back at normal following the adjustment of the additional order. So that's a very healthy business and successful for both them and us. The Vigilance partnership that we entered in the autumn of last year is steaming ahead. We are, and or they are, I should say, because they're leading it in the certification process and working together with the notifying bodies to get the product approved. And clinical evaluations are about to start. And it's fair to say that this partnership has created a lot of interest in the Bactiguard technology. So when we go out there and talk about our technology with potential license partners, the awareness is so much higher than it was even a year ago. So combined with our internal allocation of resources, the fact that we've entered a new partnership, and the increasing awareness of superbug and hospital-acquired infections, opens up for new partnerships and applications. So we'll come back on that when there's something new to report. But as Christian say, we aim for at least one more deal this year. Turning to the clinical evidence, we have a lot of clinical evidence, and our product has been tested in 150 million by 150 million patients over the years, and that's the Foley. But we are now expanding the evidence into other application areas. In India, as a post-market approval, we need to do clinical studies. We've initiated it at all six sites now, and the recruitment of patients is going quite fast. We're up to more than 150 patients out of a total of 1,000 included already, so that's good. And for patients with chronic needs for catheters, spinal cord injured patients who suffer from recurring infections and antibiotic treatment, it's very important quality of life aspect to be able to reduce the number of infections. So we're really looking forward to being able to help this patient group through the clinical trial we're doing with the Spinalis Clinic. Finally, what Christian mentioned is the laboratory study that was done, and this is encouraging because thrombosis is as frequent as catheter-related bloodstream infections. It affects some 5% of all patients that have them, and the mortality rate is very high, so up to one quarter of the patients who get the infections actually die. So this is an important thing to investigate further. And also the treatment is very costly. So with that, I'd like to turn back to Christian for the financial highlights of the quarter.
Thank you, Cecilia. So we are then on page 10, looking at financial highlights. As I indicated, revenues, yes, they were down for the quarter, some 10%. The reason for this is rather simple. As I said, this has to do mainly with the adjustment of the stock order that we delivered last year, where Bard actually, instead of ordering new products, they took from the stock they already have. What I would like to focus on here, though, is that the underlying sales is strong. from CR Bard. And as you can hear also from their own quarterly reports, the product itself is doing very well in the market. So we're extremely happy about that. The second reason is also that, yes, we were affected by the currency effect of seeing a lower dollar for the quarter, and last but not least, some minor non-reoccurring costs. Fred will come back to that later. Turning to the next page, as for delivered products. This is also something that we have been coming back to over the years. You have to measure Bactiguard by products going out into the patients. So thereby, we are, of course, extremely pleased to see the quarter in real products leaving us going into different markets, from some 4,000 last year going up to almost 88,000 products this year. And worth noting here is that we last year sold only some 152,000 units for the year. So the promise of doubling at least our own product deliveries is coming along nicely. So handing over then, and again, just reminding ourselves as from the revenue streams. Please, Fredrik, guide us forward.
Thank you, Christian. So on page 12. Just a brief background on the revenue streams. As we now have the new accounting policy implemented, two revenue streams from our two business lines, which the first one is the licenses related to license agreements with the CRR, and also as of Q4, the license agreement with Malaysian Vigilance Medical Devices. And the other revenue stream, BIP revenue from direct sales of our products, and all volumes there delivered will generate revenue. Moving on, page 13. On that page, we show the distribution of revenues and accounts. So in Q1, bulk of revenues, 88%, came from license revenues, and that's related to the agreement with Bard. So that was 22.8 million in licenses. That's down 15% from Q1 2015, including a negative currency effect of 1.4 million. So the decrease, as mentioned before, is mainly related to the adjustment of the additional one-off order from Bard. So that meant lower revenues than expected, both in Q4 2015 and also in Q1 2016. Now, on the other hand, sales of BIP products in the quarter had a very positive development compared to Q1 2015, and reflecting the strong outcome in delivered products. Sales of BIP products, 11% of revenues, sales primarily to India, China, Europe. And according to the new accounting principle, all delivered BIP products generate revenue. And out of the 2.9 million there in revenue, 1.8 million had a cash flow effect. Other revenue, 0.4 million in the quarter, that's largely attributable to EU grants for development projects. So in summary, total revenues for the quarter, 26 million, which is down 10% from Q1 2015. Next page, just focusing a bit more on the license revenues from Bard. Looking at the full year 2015, license revenues were up 40%. That included a positive currency effect and also this additional order that we received in Q3 with an initial value of 28 million. So part of that additional order, 8 million, was used in Bard's regular production, and that affected order volume both in Q4 of approximately 5 million and also in Q1 with approximately 3 million, or to be exact, 2.6 million. With a negative currency effect of 1.4 million, that adds up to the difference in license revenues of 4 million between Q1 2015 and Q1 2016. And as we also have pointed out, as of March 2016, order volume is back to stable level, which means that this adjustment effect has been accounted for in full, and we expect volumes going forward at the normal level. Next page, key figures. We have already commented on revenues and EBITDA for the quarter. On the bottom left-hand side, we show the adjusted EBITDA, adjusted for non-recurring items. So for Q1 2016, adjusting for non-recurring costs related to the implementing the change to accounting principle, and in Q1 2015 for non-recurring costs related to a strategic marketing project of 5.3 million, we end up with an adjusted EBITDA for the quarter of 1.4 million compared to 5.5 million in Q1 2015. Looking at total operating costs for the quarter, they are 36 million. In that definition, it's included raw materials and consumables of 2.6 million and 8.3 million in depreciation. Now, regarding raw materials and consumables this quarter, that included approximately 1 million SEK in provisions for finished products that are close to expiry. So this is in line with our protocol for handling our inventory. Net profit in Q1, minus 11.2 million. Lower order volume for Bard and effects of market valuation bonds were the main reason behind the negative change in net profit between Q1 16 and Q1 2015. The market valuation of the bond this quarter had a positive effect on financial items by 0.7 million. Finally, on this page, despite the negative EBITDA for the quarter, the operating cash flow for the quarter was plus 1.8 million. That included cash flow from betting activities of 2.1 million. So major payments of accounts receivables were the main reason for the positive operating cash flow. Right. Next page. Financial position. End of Q1, we had an equity ratio of 61%. We had a net debt of 117.4 million and a cash position of 24 million. We have an outstanding bond, nominal value of 138 million, and on that we have annual interest costs of approximately 15 million until maturity. That's down from 50 million with the original bond size of 450 million SEK. The refinancing solution of the bond loan that we have communicated will significantly reduce annual interest costs at maturity. Now, the credit facility of in total 130 million, combined with company's cash position, will secure the financing in the short term. We have the option of going after long-term arrangement, and that is just exactly what we are pursuing right now. With that, going to the next page on financial targets, and I guess the only point I would like to make on that page is that we now have set the starting point for a growth target of average 20% growth per year of 5 years, and that is 118.5 million. With that, back to you, Christian.
Thank you, Fredrik. So let me conclude. Worth saying is, of course, that I am not happy about the absolute result for the quarter. But it is important to stress that this is though according to our plan since I rejoined as the CEO. I am pleased though with the underlying trend in the sales. And this is something that gives me great comfort for the year going forward. We are extremely well positioned for growth. The increase of the attention within the area of antibiotic resistance and infection prevention is something that is playing in our favor. We are looking at a very strong BIP sales portfolio trend during the year. I have said that we will at least double the volumes, and as you have seen, we're definitely on our way there. Cecilia has discussed, of course, the great breakthrough in China. I would like to add some flavor and also the great opportunity for this year, what we are facing. We will be training some 1,000 sales reps in China just to get perspective, addressing some 5,000 hospitals in China. This is, to say the least, an interesting challenge. We have a very good position also in India. But we should never forget that we are coming into the repeat business process right now with our existing markets. And this is something that I'm very pleased about. It is very positive to see the breakthrough process in Sweden as we're gaining more tenders. This is what I call our copy-paste solution, where we are now addressing county by county in Sweden. I'm also happy to see that, of course, our main partner, C.R. Bard, is back on track, and also happy, of course, to see that they are doing extremely well in their own markets, being the U.S. and in Japan.
being in the expansion phase, I am, though, very, very cautious, also keeping a close eye on the cost development. We are pleased about the development here. We have a very tight budget, and we are spot on as from a cost perspective. And this is, of course, also something that will help us gain a positive cash flow for the years. Last but not least, it's looking very, very well for gaining a new license deal. This is something that we will communicate into the market as soon as we have it. But I'm very, very positive towards the license, and we will see at least one new area that we will enter during the year. So, all in all, I would like to say that 2016 is the year for Bactiguard, and we are truly looking forward to getting it done. By those words, I would like to thank you all for listening, and I hand over to you as the moderator for taking questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to ask a question, could I please ask you to press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now in order to enter the queue, and then after I announce you, simply ask that question. And if you find your question has been answered before it's your turn to speak, just press 0 and then 2 to cancel. And there'll be a brief pause while questions are being registered. We first go over to the line of Sten Gustafsson of ABG Sundal Collier. Please go ahead, Sten. Your line is now open.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. First of all, what's the timeline for the deal you have with the Vigilance Medical Devices? When can we expect approval, and when do you expect to see shipments start? And also, if you could just clarify that the sales level on the BIP, is that equivalent to the 87,600 units that you shipped in the quarter?
Hi, Sten, Cecilia here. The timeline for Vigilance is dependent upon the certification process. It has been initiated for CE approval, and they are working hard on it with our support. But, of course, there's no immediate transparency as to when that will happen. But we're working hard on getting it done this year, but I can't give any promises. And, of course, that will then steer when we can make the first shipment. What is fair to say is that a lot of patients in this region suffer from very severe casualties, and the number of infections is extremely high. So if the need for this product is really great. So we're working hard on getting it done. The sales level, yes, 87,600 are the total deliveries in the first quarter, if that was your question.
Great, thanks. So is the it means that the price per unit is around 33 krona, is that correct?
Well, on average, that I haven't exactly done the math, but then it's a combination, of course. The bulk of the products delivered in the first quarter are Foley catheters of relatively lower value, and then you have then the CVC and the ETT.
Okay, thank you. I'll get back to the queue.
We're now out of line of Johan Unnérus of Swedbank. Please go ahead, Johan. Your line is now open.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Johan Unnérus, Swedbank here. First question then, the 1,000 reps you are going to prepare and train in China, are they all scheduled to be trained this year, or is that this a longer process? Could be the first question.
Thank you, Juan. Christian here. As you understand, it's quite an interesting opportunity for us, and the answer is yes. So how on earth will we be doing this? This is, of course, together with our partner, Yanan. They have in total some 1,500 reps We will do this in different processes. So now we have the first launch activity this quarter, together with training the trainers, i.e. we work together with their crew, and then we train them on a bigger perspective. We will be using also all available technology by doing as much as possible interactive over the web, using our brilliant Back to God Academy forum. And then for the rest of the year, we will also do it region by region. So in short, all reps will train this year, yes.
That's an interesting exercise. Will you add some external resources, or will you be able to do this with your local partners completely on your own?
We will definitely. We will definitely do this together with our partner, being a very strong player within the Chinese market. And this is also according, of course, that the resources internally we are spending is something that we have invested in over quite some time. So, yes, the process is really already ongoing, and we are looking to do it according to plan. Yes.
Okay, and then the question about the very important repeat order outlook. I mean, India was this quarter most of the China initial order is next quarter, and what can we expect? How sure can you be to get some repeat orders towards the, well, let's say end of the year, this year?
If I start with India, Johan, we delivered, as you rightly said, the bulk of the first order in Q1, and that's there. We've stocked up the dealers, and they are delivering now to the hospitals in India. And of course, as these items are shipped by sea, it takes a while for them to get to the country, as they're quite bulky. And that makes me quite confident that we, in the second half of the year, can start making the next delivery. With respect to China, a smaller part of the first order went in the first quarter, and the rest will go this quarter. We need to do the same thing there, to stock up the regional centers in China. We need the sales reps to be out there with the product. So with that, I'm also quite confident that towards the end of the year, we will be making a repeat shipment.
And a related question then on the ambition to at least double BIP volume for this year, does that include repeat orders from both India and China?
Yes, it does.
Okay, great. And then some. It's a pretty bold statement to secure at least one new license this year. That suggests that you're pretty far down the line in discussions. How sure can you be?
I think that's a very good observation, and the answer is that yes, it is a very bold statement, and we wouldn't be making this unless we are quite far gone in the discussions. That's correct.
Excellent. And some more cost-related. I mean, this quarter, the COGS or raw materials came out a bit higher. We heard some explanation on that one. There was some adjustment according to inventory and best buy date, put it that way. Is there any risk for additional revisions coming quarter on that point? And I guess other operating expenses was a bit on the high side as well.
Well, regarding the inventory, that's an explanation. It's not a non-recurring, but it's definitely something that we have following our protocol and made that reservation or provision. So I can't really say anything about going forward, but there shouldn't be any major provisions going forward. And regarding cost base, no, I think we can conclude that cost base is stable comparing to Q4 last year. We had a currency effect on the cost side also, and if you add that up with this provision, you will notice that that cost is actually in the same level as in Q4. So we don't have any expansion of the cost base.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
We now go over to the line of Christopher Mortensen, a private investor. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. As a kind of to this, I have two questions. So firstly, come back to the license agreement that you hopefully aim to close during the end of the year through vigilance. What is the expected range of the license agreement? Will it be bigger or minor than the current BARD agreement? My second question is, as the main focus seems to be on the Indian and Chinese market, what is the outcome of the European market for BIP products, excluding Sweden? And how is that worked upon? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. If I start with the license agreement, the partnership with Vigilance is expected to be smaller than the CRBARD agreement. The CRBARD agreement is substantial and it covers the U.S. and Japan, which are two of the biggest markets in the world, whereas this the agreement with Vigilance covers the ASEAN region, which is Southeast Asia, essentially. So it is going to be smaller. And if we look at our prospects or our ambitions, it's to, over a five-year period, add two to three new license agreements, which together will be of a similar size as the revenue that we receive from CRBARD. And if we look at the European market, we delivered quite a substantial number of products into Europe. And if we look at the 88,000, it's fair to say that the biggest portion went to India, a slightly smaller portion to China, and a similar sized portion went to Europe. And that was primarily Southern Europe and the markets we are already in. So that is giving us comfort that we are increasing the number of repeat orders. And we work on expanding that by both increasing volumes in the markets we are already in, but also adding our footprint or increasing our footprint to the major markets in Europe, like Germany and France.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, before we go on to back to the line of Sten from ABG, if anyone else has any further questions, could you please press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now? And while waiting for any further questions, Sten, it's back to you. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Just a follow-up question there on the new license deals. Can you remind us the ramp-up of BARD, if we go back and look at the deliveries you made, say, 4 or 5 years after that deal was initiated, what kind of sales level did that generate? That would be helpful. Thanks.
Christian here. Thank you, Sten. Remembering that also going back to CRBARD, we are going back to 1995, as for also reflecting on, I think I know where you are aiming, but just to make that clear, 1995. At the time, CRBARD went out in the market with a coated Foley catheter that had quite a severely higher price than the existing products. At the time, a normal Foley was trading about $3 to $4. They came out with a price tag of $12. That's fact number one. Fact number two is that at the time, they allocated for the U.S. market 7 sales reps addressing this. Having said that, the ramp-up in Bardex IC, as the product was called, was for the first 5 years, I would say, going slow due to the fact that they had a very aggressive price structure. They were breaking new grounds as for having coated products, but they did it in a very creative way still, though, because they addressed the classical U.S. bully approach. They went into hospitals, going ward by ward, and saying that, what is the level of infections here? let's say, 20%. And then they said, we guarantee that we will reduce infections by 25%, or money-back guarantee. And when they found this method, they gained traction rather quickly. So having said that, to answer your question, I would say they went from 95 to, let's say, 2000, from, say, zero to about, on top of my mind now, Stan, some 5 million units. So it was quite an interesting ramp up still. So that would be my answer.
Okay, thanks. I guess the price difference is similar today, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But I think at the time, it was quite a provocative and aggressive price strategy, whereas we have seen for another silver-coated product in the respiratory field, the price strategy did not work at all, where the company, in say, had to reposition the product completely.
All right. But if I understand you correctly, then you're aiming for roughly 300 million in sales in 2020, of which 110 maybe from Bard, and a similar amount from new license agreements, which means that the BIP portfolio should generate another 100 million. Is that correct? Is that how we should read your long-term target?
Absolutely, Stan. That is absolutely correct.
Excellent. Thank you.
At least, I would say. But yes, that's correct.
Perfect.
Okay. Christian, as there are currently no further questions in the queue, may I please pass the call back to you for any closing comments?
Thank you very much. And for taking the time this morning. Thank you also for very good and clear questions. I would like to conclude by saying that building a medtech business takes time. No one better than me knows this for a fact. I am confident, and I think that is important to convey to all of you listening, that we are on the right path. We have gone through hell is a bad word, but I use it anyway. We have gone through hell, and we are still alive, and we're still standing here. The team I have around me is extremely inspiring. We have, as I said at some investor meetings earlier this year, we have taken all the investments. All of that is behind us. We are positioned for growth, and growth is also what we aim to show you in the market during the year. So I say, have faith and you will be rewarded. By those words, I will thank you all for listening and looking forward to the next quarter. Thank you.
This now concludes today's call, so thank you all very much for attending, and you may now disconnect your line.